Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, just great. Watching the summer start to wind down already.
I know. It's weird that we're more than halfway through July already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're almost through July.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. End of the month, or end of the week will be a new month.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
2027 is only, what, 4 or 5 months away?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Although, you know, August rolls around, it turns into Halloween down there, so.
Oh, no. It's already Halloween.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Stores like Michael's and Marshall's, Home Goods, Hobby Lobby. Well, Hobby Lobby does fall. They don't do Halloween.
It's because it's the devil's holiday.
They all get their shit out. Exactly. But yeah, all the Halloween shit's in Michael's.
Wow. I just found out you've 3D print as well. They now sell filament.
At Michael's,
at Hobby Lobby, and at Best Buy, apparently, they are now selling some filament. And I have seen online, I don't know which ones and if it's going to come to all of them, but Target apparently is going to be selling filament.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And Best Buy is selling printers.
Yes. Yes, you can get a 3D printer at Best Buy. You don't have to wait for it to be shipped anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that legislation that they passed about, like, can't sell 3D printer because it can print a gun, I guess that went out the window. Because I'm sure somebody was like, well, this is how much money we make off of it. And they were like, oh, fuck it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm pretty sure the instances of ghost guns, 3D printed ghost guns, is probably way down when you can just walk into any fucking sporting goods store and buy a fucking regular handgun.
Yeah.
So, yay. Did you buy your ticket for Spider-Man yet?
No.
No? You going to go to the theater to see Spider-Man?
I don't know yet.
No?
I don't know.
I bought my tickets this morning.
And when's it open? This weekend?
This weekend. Thursday night, technically.
Yeah.
But we're going Saturday morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
As a family?
Me and the kid.
Okay.
We're going. She has a crush on John Bernthal, so the fact that the Punisher's
you mentioned that.
She's super excited, so. That's why we went to watch The Odyssey. It was because he was in it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Lots of time at the theater this year, which I guess is okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Spider-Man's going to have a lot of spoilers.
Yeah, probably. So what have you been watching this week?
I watched Masters of the Universe.
I was wondering, I had to pick between Masters of the Universe and Disclosure Day. And I wound up going with Disclosure Day, but Masters of the Universe is on my list for this week.
Okay. Do you see it in the theater?
No.
Oh, okay. I really liked it. It was just a stupid comic book movie.
That's what I hear. And I hear that if you are a child of the 80s, where, you know, you were coming home from school to watch Masters of the Universe at whatever age, that's who the movie is meant for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very, there's a lot of stuff for the fans. There's a lot of callbacks to the first movie.
Okay.
The
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah,
one?
I mean, it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of the CGI is not that great.
Yeah.
But I think when it's this kind of movie, it doesn't have to be.
And how is to see Jared Leto?
Didn't hate him.
Okay. That's two movies in a row you didn't hate him.
I know, right?
Because you said you didn't hate him in Tron.
Right. Yeah.
Huh. Who would have thunk?
Yeah. So, you know, yay for going to streaming quickly after you've been in theaters.
Yeah, that was like super fast.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is Disclosure Day already on streaming?
Yes.
Oh. On which
well,
one?
Well, no. Well, it's to rent.
Or you can buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they skipped that for Masters of the Universe. Maybe they felt like they wouldn't get a big return, so why not just throw it on for everybody? But yeah, I mean, Disclosure Day is now isn't now in HD on the services that I use. And not so much a camera set up in a movie theater. But I mean, Spielberg is the master of UFO movies. This is another like really good deep dive into strange occurrences. I will say the ending is not what I was expecting. It's not, it felt like there should have been like 10 more minutes to the movie, and it okay. just kind of stops at a point. And I was like, but no, like, this isn't a spoiler, but like if he had ended Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the reveal of the mothership coming up over Devil's Tower and okay. it cut to black and credits rolled, that's how I feel Disclosure Day ended.
Huh. Okay.
Like there's this reveal and then it ends and you're like, wait, no, but we've been chasing this answer that you kind of get, but not totally. Like I want that resolution of what these characters went through to get to this point. And you don't really get that. And I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, that's bold. It's a bold choice, but like not the way I would have ended it. But I'm not Spielberg, right. So what do I know?
Right.
Did you watch Silo?
I watched it twice because I was really confused. I still am.
Okay. What are you confused by?
So Bernard is alive?
Yes.
But and seriously burned?
And hanging out down where nobody knows about.
Right.
So, I mean, his name had stayed in the credits. So I was like, well, obviously he's not done. But yeah, I mean, halfway through the season, he just winds up in this pit where apparently he's been getting food and water, I would assume. Like somebody's got to be taking care of him.
Right.
But yeah. And you know, Juliet's starting to get her memories back and try, like she understands that this is where her and her boyfriend had been like hanging out and stuff. And, you know, the head of IT is now trying to kill her based on the algorithm. And, Common is now like working with his wife in order to make sure this happens. And like the plot device of our characters' friends have now heard this, so there it's a race against time to make sure that Juliet's safe. And mm-hmm. yeah, it felt very middle episode to me. Like we've got up to this point and we've had all these questions, and now I feel like we're going to come down the backside and get a bunch of answers, hopefully.
thankfully, because they're going back in the flashbacks hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what are you trying to tell us?
Yeah.
Because time's running out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a, it still feels like a slow burn. For
very much so
for a cable TV show that, mm-hmm. you know, it's dependent to see every single episode. It's not like a, you know, a comedy where like shit resets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the economy of storytelling seems a little disproportionate in this show. But if we get four episodes of Answers, then I'll be okay. At least.
Sure, that'd be great. If we end without the right answers.
Well, and they announced that season four is coming next summer.
Right.
So we won't have to wait too long for a resolution to the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch the new Star Trek?
I was just going to ask.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I really liked this episode.
Yeah. I know that they said that they were done with like the weird swings of plot devices, but this played right into it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, having to do so, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, but they come in contact with this cloud that they find a distress beacon in, and the cloud pulls them in and shoots them back 65 million years to where they land on a planet and find out they're on Earth because there are dinosaurs.
Right.
And there's a really cool parallel story going on where they find out that there is life on Mars, that there is spacefaring Martians, mm-hmm. and another planet that sustains life that basically evolved into like bug creatures, I guess.
Right.
And they're at war with the Martians, and there's this choice that has to be made over whether they let the Martians destroy them, but the Martians steal some antimatter, which destroys the other planet, which sends the asteroid that kills the dinosaurs. And there's this whole thing of like the Enterprise had to go back in time in order for life on Earth to actually evolve the way it was supposed to, which is a very interesting story.
Right.
You know, it's just not, oh yeah, well, you know, there's these people like in Discovery where they had to find the progenitors and like they seeded the universe and all this shit. But you get like these Martians that look like, oh, they almost look proto Vulcan mm-hmm. and proto Romulan because they have like pointy ears. And I was like, well, that like, you know, there's, well, maybe people got off of Mars. Maybe like they found a way out before, you know, the planet became desolate. And like, did that, who became the Vulcans? And I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was like a cool play on the Star Trek lore that we hadn't seen before.
Right.
You know, whenever they take those swings, I'm all there for it. Cause you know, 65 million years ago, they're not intruding on any of the current timeline. So, you know, that became very cool.
Right.
So, and you can see like they're starting to lay the groundwork with a season and a half left of starting to make moves towards what we were used to in the original series. They're laying the groundwork for oh, who's the chick that drives the ship? Ortega? Like,
yes.
Like Ortega and Scotty aren't getting along. And, you know, how that could lead to her leaving the ship. They promoted number one to a full commander, and they even call out, like, this is you moving towards your own ship. So, right. Like, they're definitely setting that groundwork now. They've reached the point where they can't really encroach on the original show anymore without making those swings. So, like... you know, I'm okay with that. Like, I seriously doubt, like, Ortega is somewhere, like, on a different duty roster in the original series where you just never see her. Like, you know, that's whatever. Like, she's going to move on with her career, whatever. And they let, was it yesterday, the day before at Comic-Con, where they basically showed a, like, coming up, and, like, Scotty calls out Captain, and Kirk turns around.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the last season is Kirk taking over the Enterprise and launching into the original series. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I don't know. It's still my favorite Star Trek show of the new era.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a season and a half left of this and then a season of Starfleet Academy. But this is definitely, like, when I think about Star Trek, this is the kind of sci-fi stories that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's so well written.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's a lot of people that have problems with this show. They don't like the wild, like, this week we're doing a murder mystery, this week we're doing, you know, whatever. Like, they just want Star Trek. And I think what makes this show great is that they can do that and keep it Star Trek.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't have been able to do the musical episode in any other Star Trek, maybe Deep Space Nine with some of the weird shit that they did. But... mm-hmm. Like, not Next Generation, not the original series. Very doubtful they would have done it on Voyager or Enterprise. So, you know, being able to tell those types of stories in a setting that's familiar to Star Trek is, I think it's huge, because it's not just the same shit regurgitated, you know, over and over,
right,
with like science fiction tropes and shit. So, you know, let them do it.
Yeah, definitely. I also like how they can throw away some funny little bit that, if you're not paying attention, everybody starts talking about it.
Which one?
Like the comment that Pelly makes. I love Pelly.
So, yeah, Pelly has made comments about Doctor Who before. Mm-hmm. And there was an episode last season that the TARDIS is actually in.
Right.
When the Enterprise gets swallowed by the big giant ship, apparently the TARDIS is somewhere in the background. Mm-hmm. And it's not new. I mean, in 2009 Star Trek, R2-D2 shows up as space debris.
Right.
In Star Trek First Contact, the Enterprise is at the Battle of Sector 001. So it's not new that other sci-fi IP encroaches in the Star Trek. It's never been as blatant, though. And yeah, Pelly is the person to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there's never going to be a payoff.
I want to see a season of Doctor Who where she's the companion.
That would be fucking amazing.
It would be hilarious.
Although, well, I guess it's back at BBC and not on Disney anymore. So I guess there is a chance,
right,
that, like, mm-hmm, you know, they could make a companion named Pelly that is only around for a very short time. And, you know, or even have the new doctor mention, oh, when Pelly was around, just to see if anybody would notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has alluded to the idea of Doctor Who, but I don't know if she's ever said the phone booth before, or the phone box, or whatever she says. But yeah. I mean, I do think that, like, if they were going to do that, Nkuti's doctor would have been probably the best doctor for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So apparently there has been two comic book series. One was called Assimilation in 2012. It was an 8-issue comic series that unites Matt Smith's Doctor with the crew of the Next Generation to stop an alliance of the Borg and Cybermen.
Wow. Okay.
And then there was one called Friendship is Universal, a joint 2024 Comic-Con promotional campaign celebrating Intergalactic Friendship Day across both franchises. Apparently Strange New World showrunner Akiva Goldsman and Doctor Who showrunner Russell T. Davies held active conversations for years to try to get a live action crossover. There in season 3 of Strange New Worlds featured a background visual nods to the TARDIS and dialogue hints from Pelia implying she had previously traveled with a time traveling doctor. And apparently the 15th Doctor casually suggested visiting the USS Enterprise during the Doctor Who episode Space Babies. And that was in Kudigawa.
See, there's precedent. They should just do it.
There is. There should be just a standalone somewhere. Get Matt Smith or fucking you know, any of the previous doctors just for like a 2-hour crossover. That'd be amazing.
Right.
So, yeah. So, trying to think of what else I watched this week. Oh, I took your advice and I went through, I'm through the first season of The Bear.
Okay.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I would like a show about cooking. But they're like, that seems to just be the catalyst of the show and not so much the, like, although I will say the episode in season 1 that's basically a one-er from like the 2-minute mark to the end, I was like blown away by. Like I kept being like, did I see a cut? Wait, no, they're still going. Like, and they would do things where like characters that they would cut to, there's just like a voice from like the side telling whatever the character is the information they need, and I was like, holy shit, they're gonna do this all the way to the end. So I was very impressed by that. But yeah, I plan on at least getting through a season a week, so it's really good. I like it.
Yeah, wait till you get Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay. What else have you watched this week?
So a couple of new things. There is a new Larry David series that's called Life Larry and the Pursuit of Unhappiness.
Okay.
And it's different historical sketches.
Oh, I've seen clips of the one with Rob Reiner.
Yep. It's very, very funny. It's okay. Very, very funny. The whole Rob Reiner thing where, you know, they're talking about, you know, well, what happens in the future if, like, you know, the president is just an asshole? Well, you know, surely, Congress can jump in. It's like, but what if they're all pussies? And just builds and builds and builds. And it's very funny. And they're all just short kind of skits. He's got a bunch of guest stars. Alan Tudyk, Henry Winkler, Samuel L. Jackson does the narration. Jerry Seinfeld. There was a skit about the first draft of the Declaration of Independence and how bad it sucked. There was a really funny one about Rosa Parks, where Larry David is the guy sitting next to her, and he doesn't want her to move to the back because then he's going to have to get up, and he's comfortable where he is, and he starts talking her ear off and being, you know, that guy you don't want to sit next to.
Yeah.
But a very funny stuff. I mean, the only other thing I knew from him really was on Curb Your Enthusiasm. There was an episode about a restaurant opening with a new chef, and the chef has Tourette's.
Nice.
And that whole sketch is hilarious. Because, you know, there are all these people in the restaurant for the first night of service, and the new guy's behind, you know, the show kitchen, and he just starts cussing up a storm. And then to deflect from it, other people start randomly throwing out curse words. You know, there's like this well-dressed husband and wife at the dinner table, and the chef says something, and the wife goes, "Motherfucker! Ooh, that was fun."
Nice.
But yeah, and then what's the other thing? Oh, so Stuart fails to save the universe.
Yeah,
is better than it has a right to be.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
So the whole premise is that Leonard and Sheldon created a quantum interference device that malfunctions, and the first episode is kind of apocalyptic Pasadena.
Yeah.
Where Stewart is still running the comic book shop.
Yeah.
Brian Posehn is in it, and then
Kripke, right? The guy that plays Kripke.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Kripke is the evil one, and they find him still at Caltech, but now he's in a very third world president kind of uniform because he's, you know, he's kind of in charge. They run into Raj. Raj is still there.
Oh, they brought back, what's his name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny. And I watched it, and I wasn't thinking, it's like, oh, so this is just kind of, you know, another cash grab to keep the franchise going. It's like, no, it was pretty decent.
Huh, okay. Because I watched the trailer, and I was like, they could have done the show without it connected to the Big Bang Theory, and I feel like, you know, and it felt like a cash grab, but if you're saying it's not, then I may have to give it a peek.
No, I really didn't think so. I thought it was pretty decent for what it was.
Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But I guess when, you know, you don't have to worry about, like, big name stars on it and stuff, you know, you could probably take some more risks.
right? Well, wasn't the actor who played Stewart supposed to be, didn't he audition for Leonard?
I'm sure he did. I mean,
is that the story?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of weirdness with the Big Bang Theory of, like, they shot a pilot that where, like, Sheldon was had a girlfriend and was having sex, and, like, Penny wasn't there. It was somebody else. And, like,
right.
Then they retooled the whole thing into what it became. And, yeah, I'm sure all kinds of people at some point auditioned to be those characters.
Yeah.
But now he gets his own show. So, you know.
He does.
Hopefully, if it's good, hopefully it finds an audience. I mean, HBO yes. Max is a weird home for that when, you know.
Right?
I would think that they would try to do it on CBS, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, they can curse on HBO Max.
Oh, do they curse in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know that, I don't know which episodes he did, but, they brought in Jonathan Frakes from Star Trek to direct a bunch of episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cause he was talking about that on his podcast where, I forget who the guest was, but it was somebody connected to the show, and it might have been Bill Prady. They were talking about how Jonathan Frakes is one of the few Next Generation characters to not appear on The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Because they obviously had Will Wheaton, and there's an episode where Will has a party and Brent Spiner, and I think LeVar Burton is in one.
Yep.
And they never asked Jonathan Frakes, and he was like, "What the fuck is up with that? I would have done it in a heartbeat." And they said, "Well, we're going to give you on the next project, we're going to let you direct a bunch of them." And he was like, "All right, that's fine."
Right.
So yeah, I don't know if you've seen the podcast with Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner. It's called Dropping Names and Other Things, and it's basically whoever they're interviewing. They've had Felicia Day and Nathan Fillion, Alan Tudyk, Dean Devlin, the dude that played A-Train on The Boys. Like, they get all of these guys to come in and basically just tell, like, inside Hollywood stories. Okay. It's interesting. It's an interesting take. And every time they say a name of any recognition, that they ring a bell and, like, honor that person. but, like, the amount of people that Brent Spiner has worked with in his career is fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't really think of him outside of Star Trek. But, you know, he was in Independence Day, and he was in The Aviator, and he's done a whole shitload of things where you're like, holy shit. And he's got stories for all of it.
Hey, and don't forget Night Court.
Yeah, Night Court. He talks about Night Court. He talks about when he was on Broadway in 1776. And, like, he talks about all kinds of shit. And all the guests have always, like, what's her name? From Frasier.
Jane Leaves?
Jane Leaves. They interview Jane Leaves. And, like, Jane Leaves met her husband. Her husband was in charge of Star Trek at Paramount. Like, he was the guy that Rick Berman answered to at Paramount. And she met him because he was going back and forth between Star Trek and Frasier. And that's okay. How they met. And, like, there's weird connections between them all. And, like, it's an interesting podcast if you like old school Hollywood inside baseball stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about all the Comic-Con stuff?
Interesting.
So, Ryan Gosling is now officially part of the MCU.
Yep.
As Ghost Rider.
Replacing Nick Cage.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they were ever going to bring Nick Cage in, especially now that he's Spider-Noir.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been, apparently Gosling was one to do this for quite a while. So they finally made it happen. I'm not going to get excited until they actually start shooting, because I was really excited about Blade and that got canceled. Uh-huh. So
right.
I'll wait. But it's the same director that did Deadpool and Wolverine and Starfighter and all this other stuff. So I feel like it's in good hands.
Right.
I feel like they could turn out something that's actually watchable and not where Ghost Rider pisses Morbius fire, like in the second Ghost Rider movie. Cause right? That was weird. Yeah. Morbius. I mean, fortunately this is not a Sony picture, so you know, they shouldn't fuck this up too bad.
Well, one can hope.
We're also getting a new Black Panther.
With his son,
who the actor is 32. So I don't know how they do that. Without some timey-wimey weird shit going on, because okay, the last time you saw his son, he was like 6.
Right.
So I don't know if you know, there's a thing in Doomsday where Doom is going after all these children, because he's going after some of them. Like, you know, there's talk about him trying to get Steve Rogers' kid. And what if, you know, he gets certain children and like sends them, I don't know, through some kind of machine and they're all older when they come out the other side. I don't know. But there's going to have to be some kind of either time jump or weird explanation of why there's a 32-year-old guy now playing the child that we saw that was 6 the last time.
Right.
So, but I mean, David Johnson, I don't know if you've seen any of his other work. He was in The Long Walk, that Stephen King movie.
Okay.
And he was also Andy in Alien Romulus, which I'm pretty sure you didn't see. And I can always tell how much I like an actor by if I look up their IMDb page to see what other stuff they've done. And after Alien Romulus, I looked this dude up and I was like, this dude is he's a really good actor. So the fact that it's now in his hands, I feel really good about.
Okay.
Hopefully like he doesn't crack under the pressure though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're big shoes to fill. Chadwick Boseman right. was the perfect choice for Black Panther. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully this is, he can like handle this. We got a Spaceballs panel.
Yep.
Where they talked about, they're launching. Did you see they're launching the Spaceballs cinematic universe that's going to stretch yes. until 2143. I was really hoping for a trailer, but the things that I saw come out of that was funny enough to where I was like, all right, I can wait. Everybody seemed to be like in good spirits and stuff. And even, oh my God, blanking on his name, guy that played Dark Helmet. I feel like an idiot.
Rick Moranis.
Yes. He was there. You know, he seemed to be having a good time. They introduced him while he was wearing a Dark Helmet.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I feel really good about that, even though it's a Josh Gad thing. Cause I've never been a huge fan of his, but you know.
Well, what's he done? He did that Artemis Fowl movie, which was horrible.
Yeah.
And he did Frozen.
Yeah.
And he did Book of Mormon.
Is that all?
Oh, and he did the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Well, and he was also, he played himself in Wonder Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's always seemed a little arrogant to me for, you know, what he's done.
Yeah.
But we also had Ryan Reynolds show up at the Marvel panel dressed as Deadpool.
Uh-huh. Asking for a role.
Asking for a role, which makes me think he might be in the movie. And the Deadpool outfit was made of denim. And so it was Gene Pool. And so, like, but he spelled it J-E-A-N, like Jean Grey. So I'm wondering whether or not it's his mission to travel the multiverse to go get Jean Grey for something in this movie. But I don't know. I mean, I'm more excited about a lot of the things that I've seen. Like, they released a Lanterns trailer for...
That looks pretty good.
This trailer sold me on, like, okay, they understand the characters. They've got a handle on the dynamics between Hal Jordan and John... Why am I fucking blanking?
Oh, John Johns, Martian Mindhunter?
No. The other Lantern. John...
Guy Gardner?
No. No, the black guy.
John Stewart.
John Stewart. Why couldn't I remember fucking John Stewart? That dynamic seems like it's written well. Sinestro's in it at some point. Like... Mm-hmm. Like, there, it's just not Earthbound, which I think is good. I think it, you know, Guy Gardner is flying around, which I'm not, they need to kind of explain why there's so many Earth protectors. Because isn't the idea in the comic book that there's one per sector and Earth just happens to have either John Stewart or Hal Jordan or Kyle Rayner, like, so why are there three of them on Earth all at the same time? Like, like they're going to have to do a little bit of explaining. But I really kind of dug like this shows like Lantern and the Ring and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it looks very cool and it looks very cinematic. And I wasn't expecting it to be as cinematic being that it's on HBO Max. Like, for as good as Peacemaker was, it didn't look cinematic. It looked like a TV show. That they were, you know, that they didn't have a really big budget for. But like Lantern seems to be a little bit more highly produced than like Peacemaker. And I don't know if all of what happened in Peacemaker season 2 is going to translate to this. With the idea that the U.S. government wants to get all the metahumans onto a different planet and out of Earth. So I don't know. What else did they announce?
Johnny Depp is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, I saw that. What do you think of that?
So the trailer they showed, I really liked.
Okay.
Was not expecting that for him to be his next role, but then Jim Carrey did it too in...
Yeah, but Jim Carrey's was like motion capture.
Right.
I think I lost you for a second. What were you saying?
I said I'm looking forward to it because I just love that story. That book is, you know, so well done.
Yeah, I wasn't like I thought that I had read that it wasn't a retelling of Christmas Carol. That it was more about who Ebenezer was before the Christmas Carol. But this seems to imply that it's, they're going to do the entire story. So I don't know what to make of it. Like, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's been some really good, versions of that. Nothing's ever going to top the Muppets for me, but, you know, I think Johnny Depp is
Daisy Ridley and, Weasley as the Cratchits.
Seeing Ron
Ian McKellen is,
you know, I like all that. I think it looks really cool. I think they've done a really good job with set design and shit like that.
Yeah.
And even that little nod of Johnny Depp being like, it's good to be back. Was very cool. So yeah.
Had you watched the trailer for Coyote versus Acme?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
I think it's going to be fun. I know there's a lot of controversy with this. This is one of those movies that they had shelved and written off in their taxes, and they said that it could never be shown because of that. So I don't know what they've done to do it. But like the, what was it? Looney Tunes Back in Action. Was that the other live action? Well, I mean, there was Space Jam, but like,
there was Space Jam too. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are always fun. This seems to be, you know, a little bit more, what if the Looney Tunes were kind of real in the real world, and like,
right.
You know, Acme is a real company that is like hurting people, and John Cena is the head of Acme. I don't know. It looks fun, and any chance to get the Looney Tunes on screen, you know, it's fun, because the Looney Tunes that we grew up with was a very much a product of its time. And does not necessarily hold up super well.
Sure.
So it's nice to see those characters have a chance to do something else than live in those shorts. But yeah, it's a, that is probably one. I don't know if I'll go to the movies for it, but that's definitely one I will see.
Right.
So yeah. I mean, I don't know if you watch.
Still hope for Batgirl.
Well, but they weren't done shooting Batgirl.
Yeah, I know. But now Brendan Fraser's in such better shape.
I don't have any doubt that he would go back. I don't know if they would invest the money to pick up where they left off to fill in whatever they didn't shoot.
Right.
Like that, the Looney Tunes movie at least was done, and it was sitting there, and they just decided to shelve it. They were in the middle of like production for Batgirl when they canned that. So I don't see
that. They canned it. Yeah.
See them ever going back to it. But did you happen to watch the Matchbox movie trailer?
No, I just saw something about that.
So it's John Cena again. He had two trailers this week. And it
Jessica
looks
Biel coming back.
Jessica Biel. And it looks like almost like an offshoot, although it's not, of the Fast and Furious films. That's the same kind of energy that it gives off. Except it's about a group of people who were friends as kids that used to play Matchbox cars, and John Cena shows back up in their life, and it turns out that he works for like the CIA, and the CIA thinks that he's turned on them, so they're chasing him, and he refers to his friends as the Matchbox gang that get caught up in it. So it's not necessarily like I don't think they're going to tie it to Matchbox cars in a literal sense, other than they used to play with them as kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That, at least that's not,
I mean, cause the poster art is very much.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen the poster, but like the trailer does not come off that way.
No.
So I have a little hope that like maybe it's just a fun, stupid action movie.
Yeah, could be.
They also released a trailer for the Blade Runner TV show, finally. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on Amazon. Blade Runner 2099, which takes place 50 years after the last movie. It's got Michelle Yeoh in it, so Wicked Witch is representing. I think that her and the main character are playing the new version of replicants. At least that's how it comes off in the trailer. And the reason why I think the replicants is because the main character basically gets the shit kicked out of her in the trailer, where this dude just keeps slamming her head into a door. And I was like, they're not going to show that if it's like an actual like person, because that would like kill the person. So I'm guessing that they're both replicants and that this is going to be a look at the new replicants of the era and not be really connected to Deckard or Kay or any of the stuff that happens in 2049.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to that. I love that universe. And I think that there's an opportunity to do a TV show, a high-end sci-fi TV show in that universe that's like really good. And most of the time Michelle Yeoh is really good, so.
Sure.
You know, they sprinkle in, you know, Section 31 and, you know, it's not her fault that was a piece of shit, but, you know, it still gets chalked up to her. So,
Sorry.
You know, people can argue whether or not she was miscast and Wicked, but, you know, I think in an action role, in an action sci-fi role, she'll probably be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she had a better script, the Star Trek movie would have been really good for her.
Well, yeah, and it was supposed to be a TV show, and when she won the Academy Award, I think her asking price went up, and they figured out that they couldn't do like an 8-episode TV show, so they rewrote whatever into whatever Section 31 was, and I think they knew going in that it wasn't going to be good. I don't really see anything other than that for Comic-Con.
Yeah, there wasn't like any big Star Wars news, right?
No, I think they're saving that for D23.
Probably.
I think Comic-Con is, I think Disney sees that as the Marvel stuff. You know, and anything that we're going to get for Starfighter and for Ahsoka season 2 is all going to end up being at D23. Which is end of next month?
Yeah.
So
August.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long until, you know, maybe we get trailers for middle of August, August 14th. So a little less than a month. And I don't know if on the event schedule, let's see, give me the event page. I don't want tickets. I don't care about shopping.
Don't.
No. August 14th is the Disney Entertainment Showcase. Guests can expect surprise celebrity appearances, exclusive first looks at upcoming films and series. I don't know if that would encompass Star Wars or not. Saturday is Disney Experience Showcase. Neil Patrick Harris is hosting for stories shaping the future of Disney experiences around the world. So I'm guessing that would be like hearing directly from Imagineers, storytellers, artists, and innovators. But they fired all those artists.
Well, we have AI now.
Oh, okay. And then on Sunday is hosted by Ryan Seacrest, and that's the Disney Legends Awards. Jerry Bruckheimer, Anne Hathaway, Bob Iger, Dwayne Johnson, the Jonas Brothers, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Alan Tudyk.
The Jonas Brothers?
Yeah.
I mean, there really are no legends anymore. I wouldn't say...
No.
Other than maybe Bruckheimer.
I don't know if you could argue Bob Iger as a Disney legend. I mean, he brought in the new current slate at Disney, like bought Marvel and Star Wars and like expanded the company. So there's probably an argument to be made there. I mean, he doesn't seem like a great guy with some of the shit that he's done, but I wouldn't put Dwayne Johnson in there. I wouldn't put the Jonas Brothers in there. Lin-Manuel Miranda is probably iffy. I don't know. Yeah,
and it's like
I'm tired of
CEOs just in general.
Yeah.
It's like their job is to make money for the stockholders.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Tudyk deserves all the awards, so I'm fine with him being a Disney legend.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's also going to be 5 stages at the Anaheim Convention Center with panels and performances, including a full-length documentary from Leslie Iwerks. Hey Jonas Live, celebrating the Jonas Brothers. Disney Rewind Concert. Relive the magic of VHS vibes with the ultimate throwback event showcasing some of the best Disney hits of the 80s and the 90s. Stars including Disney legends Bill Farmer and Jodie Benson, as well as incoming Disney legend Susan Egan. A whole new world of Alan Menken, a one-man concert. The Simpsons is having a panel at
D23. Yeah, that's another weird thing.
Muppets Musical History with Seth MacFarlane. That would probably be fun.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians Season 3, Camp Rock 3, Lego Star Wars screening event, Bob's Burgers, Beauty and the Beast celebrating 35 years. Zootopia gets a shout out because it's been 10 years since Zootopia. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts, Nat Geo, Disney and Marvel, Future of Digital Comics, Marvel Fanfare. There is nothing that really talks about Star Wars, though. 55 years of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Ooh.
Yeah. That shit'll make you feel old. Although, if you really want to feel old,
a lot of things.
I just read a thing that it's the 30th anniversary of the Spice Girls song Wannabe.
How many?
30.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're all pushing 60.
Yep. So unless okay. like Star Wars is within the Disney Entertainment Showcase, I don't know where Star Wars fits into any of this.
Maybe they really don't have anything to announce.
Well, they were talking about like August was going to be when they were going to start the marketing campaigns for Ahsoka season 2 and for Starfighter, which would make total sense to do it at D23.
You would think.
Yeah. Oh, our old friend Joe Rohde's getting a panel about floating mountains.
Yeah, that's his book.
Yeah. Does he still have the weird, like, all the shit hanging off of his ear?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything else that would say anything about Star Wars. I mean, Hasbro is going over their new Grogu animatronic that you can buy that walks around your house.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
I wonder if it'll be as good as the BB-8 animatronic or the BB-8 robot.
I mean, come on, you don't want an animatronic Grogu that'll sit there with you and watch, you know, the next Star Wars movie?
If it was good, yes. I would get a baby seat for the car and put it in it. And then I would go to McDonald's and get chicken nuggies.
Nice. And, you know, make sure that the people at the window see you trying to feed him to Grogu.
Course.
Here you go, little buddy. Nice. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Ah, humbug.